we want to begin a journey together. And when I say journey, that's not a big enough word. I want to start describing it as a quest. I want us to be on a quest in our relationship with Christ and connecting ourselves with His purposes and following Him. And we are following Him and we are led by His Spirit. He's going to produce a unity that we seldom get to experience. And that's what God has for us. And as much as I'd love to see this country completely turned around, our priority is not going to be turning around our country. It's going to be to turning around ourselves and following Christ and lead other people to the one who saves. Jesus saves. He's the salvation. He's the one building this church. And we are going to follow Him. And we're going to grow individually and then collectively together. And that gets me very excited, because I think of just the impact that would have on this community and our country and around the world, just sharing the love of Christ.
Well, good morning. You know, this past week I was reminded of just what a great church WCC is. Last Sunday afternoon, I had people texting me, and they were concerned about me. Because the Packers had lost to the Bears. In fact, Janine Homburg, if you know Janine, sweet, sweet person, but she also has an underbelly, a nasty side, because she called me. She couldn't just text. She called me and wanted to make sure I was doing okay with the loss. And then even this morning, again, I was reminding what a caring church this is. I had a lot of people reminding me that I should be in the service when I'm supposed to be in the service. So just again, the love and appreciation that we have for each other is great. And I was going to say something about some other football teams, but we'll just let you rejoice. And I'll rejoice with those who rejoice, as long as you'll weep with me when I weep. Anyway, we are reminded of what we've been talking about last week. As we had a conversation with Denny. But one of the things we like to do in the new year is just to take a quick look back. And so I want to put up a slide right now that just gives us a reminder. In Matthew 11, the first time that the church is ever mentioned, and Jesus is saying, I will build my church. He's the one that's going to build this future thing. I will build my church. Not even the gates of hell can prevent that. And so as we look back, we can look at this, and our confidence in Him should grow. The song that we were singing there about His faithfulness, and all of my life He has been faithful. Isn't that true? Amen. Not all of my life I have not been faithful. All of my life He has been faithful. And that is a wonderful thing. We sing not just about His goodness, but His faithfulness, and He makes promises, and He keeps those promises, and we sing about that, we think about that, and it opens our hearts up, and we're reminded again. And so that slide should just be a reminder of what God has done. So when He said that, it was a future look, but He has been building His church for generation after generation after generation. He will build His church, and not even the gates of hell can stop it. So it's with that confidence that we begin to look forward. And just so you know, that slide, that's just the tip of the iceberg of what God has done. And those numbers that you saw, and those people that you saw, and the references, that represents people coming to faith in Christ. That represents people being cared for and loved and helped through difficulties and crisis. That represents you serving each other and serving in this community. And again, that should just open us up, because we're going to need to be opened up to this idea of a quest, of going on a quest. So what's the difference between a quest and, say, a journey or a trip? What are some fundamentals? Because there are some similarities. With both, you have to prepare, right? If you're going to go on a journey, you're going to be prepared. You probably plan, do some planning, take some things with you. How long is it going to take? These types of things. But the significant difference between a journey and a quest is this. If you go on a quest, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You go on a quest, and even if you make it back home, and there's no guarantee, but if you go on this quest, even when you come back, you're never the same. Now, we're going to be talking in a great big picture of this cosmic quest that we're on. We're going to be talking about the battle between good and evil, and God and Satan. This is the quest that we're on, and that's big stuff, right? That's out there stuff. That's forward-thinking stuff. But I also know that all of us have that same position in areas of our lives, that God's wanting to take us on a quest. And this quest, whether it's personal, maybe it's my relationship with people, maybe it's in a relationship in my marriage, at work, the things that God wants to do, where He wants to take us, is not where we're at. And so He's wanting us to go with Him on this quest. And so some of the distinctions could be made, but one of them is you'll never be the same. The other one is a journey you can choose to go on or not. And if things don't work out, you're not feeling well, COVID happens, something like that, you just say, I'll do that later. You have that option. A journey is a good thing, but you get to decide whether you go or not. A quest, you really don't have an option, because a journey is about you going somewhere. It's about a destination. A quest is going to cost you something. A quest is filled with peril. It's dangerous. But it's bigger than you. There's something bigger at stake than just you going and arriving somewhere. The stakes are higher. There's a purpose. There's an intent. There's an urgency in a quest that we have to go. So when I think about a quest, literature is full of quests because it's compelling. It's exciting. So I'm thinking of Lord of the Rings. Anybody else already thinking about Lord of the Rings? In that story. And J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote that, was a strong believer, faithful follower of Christ. He loved Jesus. And that shaped him, that formed him. But he'd also been in World War I, in the trenches in France. And he'd seen things that he'd never thought he would see. He saw things that he didn't think people were capable of doing to other people. He saw the inhumanity of humanity, death and destruction, darkness, despair, and that shaped him. But as I said, he knew Christ and he loved Christ and he followed Christ. He's very brilliant, a brilliant writer, a brilliant thinker, and he was a professor at Oxford University. And at Oxford, he had a co-worker named C.S. Lewis. Yeah, that's C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. The Narnia Chronicles, what's that one called? Chronicles of Narnia, thank you. A writer too, but when J.R.R. Tolkien met C.S. Lewis, C.S. Lewis was an atheist. And through their conversations, through their discussions, through that relationship, they talked a lot about things that they had in common, literature, students, being a professor, learning, thinking, and we see this progression that C.S. Lewis over the years, he became an agnostic. And then a couple years after he became an agnostic, he became a believer. He's born into the family of God because he placed his faith in what Christ had done on him. And his words were, in Christ and in Christ alone. That's what happened. But Tolkien wrote The Lord of the Rings. And the backdrop of this is this hobbit, or hobbits. And they have to take this ring. And they have to take this ring. And Frodo's the one who's chosen. The last guy you might pick. Certainly, Hobbit is not who you want to have someone to take this ring. It has to go into the enemy's territory, Mordor, and take it to the Mount Doom, that which the name fits, right? It's right in the heart of the enemy's territory. And he has to take this ring and destroy it before the evil one gets it and then has the power to destroy Middle Earth. Tremendous fantasy, yes, but there's some parallels. There's so many connections. And so he starts on this journey and he doesn't go alone. And that's why they made the Fellowship of the Ring. That on this journey, he had a fellowship. And it was individuals who were stepping up and stepping in to this quest of taking into the heart of darkness, into the stronghold of the enemy, the one who wanted to destroy everything, right into the stronghold. And we're going to destroy this ring to break the power. So this quest has purpose, it has intent, and there's an urgency. And you don't get a pick and choose. You don't get a stop. Because what's at stake is so important. So, how are we similar? When we're talking about the quest that we're on, it's in pursuit of a deeper relationship with Christ. To know Him and to make Him known. And we're not taking a ring out into the strongholds of the enemy. We're following the King into the strongholds of the enemy. And everything else should pale in comparison to that. All the things that consume us and the things that we pursue and we desire and we're going after, those things should pale. They have to fall away. Because nothing can keep us from going on this quest. And again, the quest isn't just this massive, universal, cosmic battle. It may be something in your personal life that you need to follow the King. You need to respond to the Spirit's leading and follow Him and leave those things behind. Because what's at stake? Relationships, families, lives, marriages. So we're being called into this quest to know the King and follow Him so closely, and we're supposed to do it together in this fellowship where we fight for each other just like they did. We defend each other. We protect each other. We carry each other. We encourage each other. That's what a quest requires. You know, it's interesting. I was, like you, I'm sure, we're watching the fires in L.A. And I don't know if you've ever seen a flood or hurricane or anything like that. I can't imagine how this even compares to that, but it's so disorienting. It just has shaken people to their core, right? But one thing that has struck me, when they're interviewing people, there's not tears. I'm not saying every interview, but most interviews, and I'm guessing partly that would be shock, right? I don't even know how to process this, so I'm just kind of on autopilot because my brain and my mind and my emotions can't, I don't know, but I also believe this. Those fires that took entire homes. And one guy's saying, yeah, we just had Christmas. You see that little chimney there? Family was sitting right around there. Just matter of fact. He realizes what really matters. I guarantee you, if we were to interview someone who'd lost a loved one in that fire, and there's 11 so far, and undoubtedly there's more, interview one of them, I guarantee you there will be tears, even in their shock. But somehow they recognize all that stuff, all those things. Something's going to really wreck their life potentially, right? Ruin their plans and their dreams. It doesn't really matter because we're okay. What matters? People. People. And so on this quest, it is a focus. Again, not taking a ring, but taking the king and letting the king fight against this darkness. That we would know him in such a way that we reflect the light. And I can tell you, if we go on this quest, we won't be the same. And I'm pretty okay with that. You know, I think about the Hobbit in the Shire. There are days where I wish I could just stay and be a hobbit. Mostly because they have second breakfast. Did you know that? They have a first breakfast and then a second breakfast. I want to stay where it's safe. I don't want to go out there with, what, peril? Danger? I'm pretty good. But there's an urgency. And if we don't go on this quest, it matters. It's eternal. The souls of humanity are at stake. Death and darkness is at stake for those who don't know Christ. And we're the ones who are supposed to be taking the gospel out. We're the ones supposed to be reflecting Christ in a way that people that live around us ask us, why do you have hope? Why do you live the way that you live? Because I know Jesus. He changes everything. He saved me. And he didn't just save me. Guess what he did? He gave me a new heart and a new life. And he's renewing my mind. He's changing how I think and how I feel and what's important. And I'm on a journey. I have purpose, eternal purpose. So that's what we're being called into. But he didn't leave us alone in that. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, we'll start there. It says this: Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So, the church that Christ is going to build and that now we're a part of, he's the head of it, he's in charge of it, and Christ gave us gifts. He gave us gifts to this church. And those gifts are laid out, and there's evangelists and prophets and pastors and teachers. There's a list that God gifts people in this church with those abilities to lead us and equip us for a very specific purpose. Last week in our conversation that we were all having with Denny about his retirement, after each service there was a standing ovation. Now, why would we do that? Because we recognize that Denny and Cookie used their gifts for our benefit. They were faithful with what God had given them, their gifting, their experience, their life, and they served us. And we just simply appreciate that. And we're going to have a time where we get to celebrate them again. And I'm sure in our hearts we'll always be thankful and grateful because they use their gifts to serve this body. So we appreciate them. That's this thing. But their equipping and the gifts that God gives to the church, it's not detached from this quest. I'm going to read verse 12 again. It's their responsibility to equip us, God's people, to do his work and build up the church. That we're supposed to be building up the church. We're supposed to be using then our gifts to serve others in this church, equipping this church for what? This is going to happen, it says, this will continue until we come into such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Well, I think that must be in heaven. But that's the quest that we're on, God transforming us. As He renews our minds and we fall deeper in love with Christ and we know Him better, that we reflect who He is. And light dispels darkness. That's what He's wanting. And I believe that that's also the measure of what a healthy church is. It's people in that church that are being transformed because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. They're being transformed, they're being conformed into His image. They're more and more like Him. The measurement is measuring to the full and complete standard of Christ. Living and experiencing the life that God has for you. We're not. Living and experiencing the life that God has for you. That's what it means by this full standard of Christ. He didn't just die to save us. I'm so glad He did. I'm so grateful. He didn't just die so that we could have eternal life. Yes, He accomplished that. He also died to make you free from sin and death. He gave you a new life. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He's wanting you to live this freedom of knowing Him and being loved by Him without guilt and shame and condemnation because you know whose you are. You know what He says about you. It's free. That's what He's wanting. Let's continue in Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 16. It says this. So after we come to this idea of unity in our faith, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. As each part does its own special work. It says God's going to fit us together, that we're going to have unity. So that's why we have this quilt up here. We were looking for a tapestry, but apparently no one just had a tapestry around. But you know what a tapestry is? It's woven and it paints a picture. Now there's something interesting about this side of this tapestry. It's uniform. Maybe you can't see it from there, but each little square has exactly the same patterns and exactly the same colors. That's called uniformity. What God wants for us is to be and have unity. Now, how is that possible? So the way the church has handled this historically, if we want to be unified, everyone has to look and think and believe just like me. And then we can be unified. You actually have to love the Packers for us to have unity, right? So it'd be all great people or Packers fans from Iowa. I'm going to limit it even more. No, Packers from Southeast Iowa that love the Packers and love the Iowa Hawkeyes. No Iowa State. Like, and that's why each one of these patterns I've thought about. Like, last service, I'm looking at them like, this is like each little church. It's just repeated over and over. And the way that there's unity, it's not unity, it's uniformity. You have to bleach out all the color. You can't have any differences. You can't think the same way. And in fact, if you think that you're supposed to be baptized a certain way and somebody else says, nope, it's the other way, we'll split. We can't be unified. And we could go down the list of how the church is such a picture of not being unified. Uniformity. Don't be who you are. Don't have opinions. Don't bring yourself. Don't even bring your gifting. We're going to tell you what needs to be done, and you have to be bleached out. The colors all have to be the same. We can't have any diversity of pattern or thought. We just have to be the same. You know what that would be called? That'd be called a rug. Right? Look at the rug. It's all bleached out. Some coffee stains. Praise the Lord, we're going to get new carpet in a couple of months. It's just a rug. It's just, and what God really has is this beautiful tapestry. So I'm going to turn this around. I am so resisting the urge to talk about being an illusionist, but never mind. Anyway, isn't that beautiful? You know, unity doesn't require the absence of color. It doesn't require us to think all exactly the same way. Think the same way. Come from the same place. Like the same things. Our unity is found in the Spirit of God. And Him being that master weaver, that He's going to weave our diversity, our differences together. Now, I wish this was a picture of a cross or something spiritual. You see the point, right? That's what He's wanting to do with us. That's how. And He's this weaver. And he's weaving us together. And I think about that. What a beautiful picture. Now, where this breaks down is there actually are some gaps in this. And sadly, Andrea, who offered to let us use this, stopped when I said I'd like to cut some chunks out of it to make some holes. But there's holes in this. And what are those holes? That hole is us when we're not being equipped to do the work of the ministry, when we're not willing to step out, when we won't let the Holy Spirit do the weaving in our own lives. That affects this beautiful tapestry. And there are gaps in this tapestry because we, as individuals, won't let God work in our hearts in such a way that will allow Him to use the gifts that He gave to us to serve each other and to reach this world. Those are the gaps that we have as a body. Now, there's other gaps, and those gaps are the people that Christ died for, who don't know Him yet. And that's why Christ is waiting to return. He's waiting for the tapestry of the church, this thing that really reveals who He is. It's the communication. Us as a church is a communication to the world, and not just the physical world, people that can see us. It's in the spiritual, in the heavenly realms. We're supposed to be so unified, so following Christ, that we communicate God's grace, His love, His faithfulness, His justice to the entire world. That's what He is desiring for us. So I want you to pick up your little person. I was looking at this thinking that actually kind of looks like me. Giant head and then just. But the intent of this is this represents you. And I want to read part of verse 16. He's talking about He makes the whole body fit together as each part does its own special work. You have a special work that God has gifted you to do. And who you are and your experience. And He is desiring you to step into that, to be on this quest with him, to complete the tapestry. So what special work is he wanting you to do? The second question that I'd like you to be thinking about, and we're going to listen to a song. You're going to have time to reflect. But you're asking yourself first, what special work does God have for you to do in serving in this church, serving in this community? What is it that he's gifted you to do? And the second one is about who he wants you to be and what he wants you to experience in your life, in your relationship with him. What are those things that are hindering you? I'm going to pray with us in a minute, but this little symbol you'll take home with you, and you should remind you to pray. I can share with you what I wrote on mine. It looks like hashtag in him. And that works, right? Because we are in him. That's our identity. We are in Christ. It's a beautiful thing, but they're actually separated. It's not a hashtag, it's a number sign. And that number sign is to remind me that everyone matters. Everyone counts. Everyone is valuable. Everyone needs more of Christ's love. Everyone. And then the in. And it can be connected to I'm in him. That's my identity, yes. But the in is just me trying to write down and verbalize in written form this idea that I'm in. I want to go on this journey. I want to go on this journey. I want to follow him more closely. I want to experience more of the life that God has for me. I want to use my gifting and my experience in serving his church. I want to be mindful when I meet someone that they are counted, that they matter. The quest that we're on is about them. Taking the light into the darkness, taking the gospel to people that don't know him. It's eternal. It's worth the perils and the dangers and the sacrifice. And I need to be reminded of that. And then finally, him. Hashtag in him. But the him is him. The head of this church. The one who loves us. Who died for us. Gave us his Holy Spirit. That's always faithful. So go ahead and reflect. Think about what you might write. Go ahead and write it down. That's why we gave you a pencil. And on the side, I have initials. One on each side of people that I'm praying for. Specifically, that they would come to know him. So take this time as the worship team sings to reflect on what God is calling you into. This is his church. Let's build it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just grateful. Our minds are on many things, and even as we try to focus on you and what you have, I just pray you'd give a real clarity through the power of your Spirit speaking to everyone that can hear this, that is reflected, asking you to speak so they might know what it is that you would have for them as they take this step into this quest of knowing you. And even with the flaws that we have, Lord, that you would be able to use us not because we are faithful, but because you are. So, Lord, we commit that to you. Lord, I pray that those little symbols would be a reminder of us to pray, to come to you each day, to look to you, to weave us together in unity. Lord, I pray that we would grow as a church in knowing you better, being more in love with you. We might be able to love each other better. We'd be better able to take the light into this dark world. And Lord Jesus, that's you. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great afternoon.